Good afternoon, Peterborough. You are listening to Switchboard, the show which keeps you plugged in to all of the news and people of note in the place at the end of the rapids. We are broadcasting live through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF 92.7 FM in Peterborough, Ngozuanong, and the surrounding area. If you're an avid reader, you might have seen my guest for this week, perusing the shelves of many a bookseller in the city of Peterborough. He's something of a local Renaissance man, a frequent flyer of the library and the only cafe, and both of his outfits and book stacks are the envy of thousands. Gregory Conway is the co-founder and editor of Lønningspils, a site dedicated to reviews and writing about Nordic literature and translation, and this week he was announced as the recipient of the 2026 CJF-CBC Indigenous Journalism Fellowship. Greg, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a real treat to be at Park Hill and George, despite the dreary weather. It's like the sun is shining upon me whenever I get to come to Trent Radio.
It's amazing, and I feel like I'm taking my life in my hands every time I'm at this intersection, but it's always worth it to make it out here.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Now, you've received the CJF-CBC Indigenous Journalism Fellowship, I understand because of your work with your website, Lønningspils. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So I basically started this website really to highlight this, a lot of the work that writers and translators were doing that was kind of being, I don't know, underappreciated, or books that weren't getting a lot of press. And I just wanted to really like share them with people. And also I wanted to meet these people and talk to them and find out more about their work and their craft, because I just wasn't able to find many interviews or like published reviews of these books that were existed, and the people who are doing really exciting work just wanted to promote it.
Right, because I was going to say, when most people hear of Nordic literature, they probably think of like these best-selling authors that write thrillers, you know, your Stieg Larssons, your Joe Nesbos. How true is that preconception to the type of literature that you're working with?
I mean, like, in a sense, that is true. That's like where a lot of these books are being published, and where a lot of like the money in Nordic literature is, and a lot of the publicity. But really, I'm kind of focused more on like capital L literary fiction in a way. Not that those other books don't have a place. They're really special and do a lot for the book industry. But really focused on really small presses, like, I don't know, indie presses who maybe have a couple employees, one translator who's really doing this as a passion project, and just a much smaller community than those other crime thrillers.
Sure. I mean, I saw that three summers ago you finished all 1,079 pages of Infinite Jest, and you've been working on a number of books of a similar size in the years since. So I certainly see the literary, I guess, side of your reading habits.
Yeah, definitely. Just like I find literature as a challenge, or like being challenged academically through books, even though it's fun, it's just really rewarding, and kind of like pushing yourself to be able to do something in something that's a hobby or really any way is going to make it more worthwhile than just reading something that's light and fun. I like challenge.
Sure, sure. But I think like when a lot of people think about literature, and even challenging literature, probably the kind of thing that they're thinking about is your French, your German, your Russian literature, like these countries or areas that we think of having this long literature tradition that maybe is not appreciated in Nordic literature. But what is it specifically for you about Nordic literature? Like, what struck your interest in it?
Definitely a couple writers got a lot of press a long time ago that really like sparked the interest. These would be like Karl Ove Knausgård, who wrote this really long metafictional series of novels called My Struggle, which were controversial and beloved. And also Jan Fosse won the Nobel Prize, who's also a Norwegian writer, in 2023. So there's been more and more eyes on these writers, and being able to dive in further, just like any interest, you find out who's inspired who and who's worked with who was a student of who, that really, like, you get rewarded for diving deeper.
For sure. I saw on your Twitter that you'd read 100 books by August of last year. How far are you into this year's reading goals? And what is the last thing that you read?
So I'll start with the reading goal question, which I think I'm around like 58. I'm trying to do like a little bit less reading and a little more writing these days. So, but that's still a pretty formidable number. But it really doesn't like come down to a number of books. I try to just have a goal that's more dedicating time every day to literature or kind of like building it into my life.
Sure.
The last thing I read was, I'm not even going to remember right now, but I think it was this art book that I picked up on Pudlat Pudlo, who is a Inuit artist who was recently featured at the McMichael Art Gallery. So not necessarily only in capital L literature. There's definitely other things I like, and that's probably what I've been reading most recently.
Gotcha, gotcha. I did notice that your LinkedIn lists your education as a Wine and Spirit Education Trust. So tell me, how does someone with that kind of background get into writing?
So prior to maybe like very recently, my main occupation was working as a sommelier. Whether this be working in restaurants in Toronto, such as Grey Gardens or Prime Seafood Palace, or selling champagne to restaurants, that was kind of my focus. And I've always liked literature in a way and kind of had a foot in both worlds and now more leaning into books. But in both ways, they're both selling stories. Like it might be this farmer in France who has something they want to share that they think is really special. And you really have to convince someone that it's worth $100 or $200, which is not, and that comes from stories in the same way literature comes from stories.
Right. I was going to say, I imagine you see a lot of things in an industry like that and you meet a lot of people.
Yeah, I think there's also just a lot of like people who really care about the arts who end up working in restaurants and service jobs. It's just something that happens and there's a lot of connections you can meet through that as well.
Right, right. And so tell me a little bit more about your writing. Like obviously you're writing reviews at your website. You know, any big inspirations or things you bring into your practice?
Inspiration, it's mostly like comes from a place of selfishness, right? Like I'll meet a writer or read a book and I'll be wanting to know more about them. So I'll just reach out to them with a cold email and be like, do you want to do an interview for an hour? Because I have more questions and want to learn about this. And it luckily has been that other people have felt the same way. And I've met a lot of people who are very thankful for the work that I'm doing. And it's exciting to know that others are out there in a community that feels very small.
Right. Any like really interesting writers that you've met or that you've had the privilege of speaking to as a part of this work?
Someone I actually just was talking to, his name is Jeffrey D. Morrison, who has a book coming out with Coach House Books in Toronto called The Coffin of Honey. He's based in Vancouver, but has really developed this love of learning Norwegian. So he's teaching himself Norwegian to read the same kind of books I am. And he'll be visiting the city to launch his book next week. And I'm going to have dinner with him and be able to chat with him. And connections like that, even though you're doing work, like being able to build friendships and community beyond a website product is something that's been really special.
That's awesome. So, I mean, speaking of, you know, these are books specifically in translation that you're engaging with for the most part. Do you read like any Norwegian, any Swedish, any of the original language, or are you mostly just engaging with the translated product?
So certainly mostly engaging with translated product. I have a very, very baby amount of Norwegian language and Finnish language, and I try to read in those languages. It just takes a very long time with dictionaries, translation devices, but there are just so many works and so many artists who are doing things that aren't available in English. I hope to translate some things myself just to make them available in the future. And there's a lot of resources and people who are really willing to help. So if anyone ever wants to translate works or learn a language, there's work for you.
You're the man to talk to.
Yeah.
And now talking a little bit more about this journalism fellowship, how did it come to your attention? Like what put you onto this as a kind of possibility as a writing pursuit?
So it's kind of unique, right? Like I think creating like a WordPress web and making it a website and linking with all of these authors and translators, there is like a sense that it would be a lot better if I had more resources,
sure.
Essentially. And this CBC fellowship really felt like it could be an extension of the work I'm already doing, which is exactly what I want to do, and being able to pursue it as more of a full-time practice is really the goal. And it will be shaped by CBC in a way. I don't know in what way, but I think it's going to be for the best to be able to have mentorship and access to resources I do not have on my own.
Right. Because I was going to say, your website feels very DIY, and it's one of the things that I really admire about it. There is a definite aesthetic and a definite texture to the writing and to the presentation of it all. Are you scared of losing that going into a perhaps more formalized practice, or are you just excited for the opportunity?
It's hard to say, because, like, of course there's, like, questions of authenticity or wanting to stay true to yourself, but really the goal isn't about myself or my website. It's about promoting these people who are doing the good work. And if a different, bigger organization can help me do that, it's kind of more important to put my own, like, young punk mindset of not selling out to the side and really do what's best to promote people doing great work in literature.
Sure, yeah. And can you just walk me through, like, what was the application process like for this fellowship? Like, was it kind of daunting? How did you get turned on to this as, like, a possibility to pursue? And, like, what did you have to go through in order to secure this opportunity?
For sure. So I was put onto it by a friend who knew about it and thought that I would be a really good fit. I think a lot of people who have these creative pursuits or these blogs or these websites don't really know about fellowships or things that are out there. So I'm really happy that someone shared this with me, because I would not have found it on my own. And really the way they framed it was as something that could be an extension of what I was already doing. So the application process was, I don't know, it's pretty standard, like a classic resume, but maybe like a statement of intent or what I could bring to the table at CBC, mm-hmm. and also kind of writing a statement of what I would like to receive from them, which is kind of interesting. It was maybe like a 5-page application. It wasn't anything too intense.
Right, gotcha. I mean, still, that's it's a weird position to be put in, I imagine, as a writer, to be like asking for something, right, to be given to you. I feel like so often we kind of just want to put our work out there and be like, you will see the merit in this, hopefully, right? As opposed to being like, yeah, this is what I need. This is what I want from you that you can give to me. It feels kind of, I don't know, entitled.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain feeling of in literature that you kind of toil in obscurity, which is like, I respect that totally, but I also think to be the best writer you can possibly be, you have to, like, ask for the things you need, and you have to be financially secure in a way, or, like, ask for fellowships or opportunities, because you can't do your best work when you're struggling.
For sure. I mean, like, that seems a very big tension in the industry right now between traditional publishing, self-publishing. You know, almost every writer I know has a Substack or something, like, somewhere that they're putting their work, but yeah, you know, not all of those things pay dividends, right?
Yeah, I think monetization is kind of a taboo subject in the arts, but you really have to make a living and survive in the world that we're given. It's not pretty, but making a living is really important, and being able to see artists thrive and have a happy life is really exciting and makes me happy.
Yeah, how have you found that being essentially now like a working writer? Is that a daunting prospect to you?
I mean, the doing something part-time is always harder than giving it your all. I'm really excited to really put writing on the forefront, because up until this point, I've still probably been more so on the hospitality side. And I think the opportunity to give it my all or give it a full-time effort is really exciting, because those opportunities just don't happen very often for any kind of writer or any kind of artist.
Right. Yeah. I think that, you know, covers a lot of what I had to ask you. I don't know, you know, I'm trying to like think of anything to pad the half hour, but is there anything you wanted to add?
It's hard to say what to add. The thing that's really exciting is, and hard to make this interview that fulfilling, is that I'm not sure where the location will be at this point.
Right.
They're still kind of working at the kinks of whether it will be Montreal, Vancouver, or Calgary. And whether or which location I end up on will generally inform my practice in a big way and see who I'll be able to collaborate with, whether it be through CBC or if I'm in Calgary, I'd really like to connect with the Scandinavian Studies Department in Alberta that exists there, which doesn't exist here.
Right.
In Montreal, there'll be different resources, different people. And I think letting the place you're in influence your writing and art is really important.
Sure. I mean, because you moved to Toronto for a bit, but you're from like the Peterborough area, right?
Yes.
And I've got to imagine it must be complicated to come back to the place you grew up, especially a place that is now undergoing a lot of change, that is more expensive to live in than it has ever been. But that is also like a very tight-knit community. Does the prospect of going to a bigger city, is that daunting? Is that exciting? You know, are you just kind of excited to see where it goes?
I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. I really love Peterborough, and I really would love to just spend all of my time here, which is, I don't know, it's a place that really makes me feel at home. There were definitely times when I was younger where I really wanted to be in a big city, but now that I've done that, I feel like there's so many places in the world where so many people are doing great work, and the world feels smaller than ever, so you kind of have these social support and safety nets in other places because you can just FaceTime your mom whenever you want to.
Yeah, it's a more connected world, and I imagine that you see that a lot in your practice, considering like works in translation maybe 20, 30 years ago, prior to everyone having access to a computer in their pocket, were much of a more niche thing. You know, it relied really on the access provided by big publishers and by, you know, these sort of existing legacy institutions. And now you and your co-editor are bringing attention to a lot of things that I think it's fair to say people wouldn't otherwise be familiar with.
Yeah, I think I'm working on this poetry collection from Finnish to translate it to English. And although when I first started, I had no knowledge of Finnish at all, it's having this mentality of, if I won't do it, who will? That really like pushes me to do more in this world, even when there is like, of course, imposter syndrome and there's people who would do it way better. Mm-hmm. But putting yourself out there and just trying is so, I really recommend it to anyone. Just this mentality of, if you want something to exist, just do it.
Yeah, for sure. And certainly like, with a language like Finnish, my understanding is that it is very different to something like Norwegian or Swedish. It's a different language family. It's a different root. That's why Finland isn't Scandinavian, but is Nordic, as I understand it.
Yes. So it's probably closer to something like Hungarian or Estonian. There really doesn't have a shared root with the main Scandinavian languages of Danish, Swedish, and Norwegian. So it's very unique, but I've made some nice connections in Finland with a publisher called Poesia, who's really making special poetry collections over there, but they just are not sadly available in English. So
sure, yeah.
I just found something really special that I wanted to share with people in English, and hopefully within a year or so it comes.
Yeah, and I imagine like you see certain languages like French, German. Certainly, I think there is a big devoted community of translators who want to translate literature and poetry from like Japanese. But like apart from you, who else is doing this in Canada or in North America at large?
So there's definitely a lot of like talented translators. Like one I definitely shout out as a mentor of mine, Jordan Barger, who's based in Philadelphia. He just spent about a year in Norway translating works and meeting writers. So there are writers out there who are doing this work and translators, but it is kind of a thankless job, right? Like if you're really successful, you want the author to get the shine
sure.
in your own way. So there is that's kind of one of the points of the website, is to promote these people who are doing translation when, even when they're successful, they're not often honored or get their flowers.
Right, right. And, I mean, do you have any thing that you're working on right now that you either want to realize through this fellowship or that you're just excited to be working on, like, anything in store?
So very, very newer interest for me is I've really come enamored with a lot of Inuit art and Northern Canadian art. And as I mentioned earlier, the book I was reading was Padla Padlo, who's a great artist whose work is available to see at the McMichael. And I saw it recently. It was very inspiring. But being able to even promote languages from Northern Canada in translation would be very fun. And being able to look into these books, I don't know much about them at all right now. But that is definitely an area of interest that I think CBC would be a perfect fit for.
Right.
And also seeing these, like one of the reasons I really like Norwegian literature is we can kind of see a country under occupation, like German occupation in Norway or Danish colonialism there, and see these kind of ties between Canadian culture in the Scandinavian countries. Like, as myself, an Indigenous person, who all of the art of First Nations is generally oral tradition, we don't have this storied literary tradition where I can go and buy like some 600-page book and learn about what someone felt in 1920s. But I can do that with someone who was colonized in Scandinavia in that area, in that era, and kind of see similarities and try and learn about those feelings through someone else, which I think is something that has been special to me and something that I think could be shared with this fellowship.
Right. I mean, you mentioned a couple of interesting things there, and I want to pull in like this idea of Northern literature and translation and this idea of like oral tradition or Indigenous literature and art, because a lot of contemporary Indigenous literature in Canada is written in English, right? Is produced in English, even from very, very notable, very famous, and critically acclaimed writers like Drew Hayden Taylor from your home of Kerf Lake. You have writers who are writing in, you know, a colonial language. And I think it wasn't until even like Adonarjat, The Fast Runner, was released in 2000 that you had, you know, Indigenous representation in the language of the community that is making that art, that is representing themselves, essentially. And to your point, that seems a big thing overlooked in Northern art and Northern representation.
Yeah, I'm not going to claim to be any expert on Indigenous art or Indigenous languages, but there is a lot of writing that isn't available in English from Canadian Indigenous communities. And I'm seeing some of it being translated into English, and that's really exciting. But another side of like the Indigenous identity is so much of it is based in languages being taken away and living and being moved into like urban spaces. And it's not like a lot of that work and that those stories are really important, but it is generally written by people who write in English.
Sure, yeah. You mentioned like this connection between North American colonial projects by, you know, like Britain, France, and this idea of like Danish colonialism, for instance. I'm curious, have you seen like Godland, or are you familiar with like a lot of the Icelandic literary and I guess artistic tradition?
Like, I would say somewhat. Like, I'm not sure how much of it would be the Icelandic, like, colonial literature. I definitely like have a history of reading the sagas or reading Halldór Laxness, who's an Icelandic writer who won the Nobel Prize, but I'm not necessarily an expert in Icelandic work.
Sure, yeah. I mention it because I watched Godland this year, and if you're not familiar, it's about a Danish priest who is sent on mission to establish the first Catholic mission in Iceland. And it, you know, it's by an Icelandic director with a primarily Icelandic cast. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. and I think I would highly recommend it to anyone who's listening to the show. But for people who are looking to get into the kind of literature that you are dealing with, do you have like a book that you recommend for starters? Where like would you point someone who is interested in maybe broadening the scope of what they're reading?
Yeah, of course. So I think maybe I'll have two answers to that.
Yeah.
And the first would be this book called Boathouse by Jon Fosse. He's a Norwegian writer who won the Nobel Prize in 2023. It's a shorter book. It's maybe 120 pages and really shows this like Samuel Beckett inspired story of kind of longing. And it's just very beautiful. And that could be an entry level. But also there's very popular books. Like there's a series called On the Calculation of Volume by Solveig Ball. And it kind of explores kind of like a Groundhog Day scenario. And it's a very popular. You'd be able to find it at Takeover Books or anywhere you get your books. And it's something that's popular enough that you may be able to just talk to someone else who's been able to read it. And I think building the community and finding these books that are available is really special, because a lot of the books that I cover on my website have been long out of print. Like they're not available unless you're really diving for them. And it may be more for the really deep divers, but there is definitely a place at the table for anyone who wants to get in.
Right. And it, like, where are you diving for these books? Because I think a lot of people, you know, for a lot of people, it's like your Takeovers, like your bookstores, maybe the library. And once you run out of those options, where are you finding this stuff?
So I found like it's sad how much books are unavailable. There's this really great Swedish writer called Per Lagerkvist who won the Nobel in 1955. And that's a giant award, and most of his books are unavailable. And a lot of them I found just like in thrift stores across various Ontario towns, which is really how I found a lot of these special books, because on the resale market, they're going up and up every day. And it's sad that there isn't more interest, because eventually they could be reprinted.
Right. Do you like, is that the ultimate hope you think of engaging in this kind of practice of review, of cultivation? Would you like to see a reissue of a book eventually? And if so, do you have one in particular that you're like, this is the one I want to, you know, write the eventual preface for?
Yeah, so there's a Norwegian writer called Tor Alvin, and he wrote this book called Replacement. He was a very tragic figure who eventually took his own life, but wrote this really like hopeful and beautiful novel in these series of vignettes. And I was able to find one copy online for a very like bad price, a bad wallet hurting price, but I wish it was available and I wish I'd be able to share it. And finding and sharing these little known novels is what Lonix Pills is all about.
Right. And as we wrap down at the bottom of the hour, Greg, is there anything that you would like to share, anything you want to plug before we go? Where can the people find you?
You can find me at lawningspills.ca. Send me an email if you ever want any kind of recommendation or want to talk. I'm very, very happy to do so. I guess just thank you to everyone in Peterborough listening. It's really like this special place to me, and I love every part of it, even though I probably shouldn't love every part of it. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to Switchboard, broadcasting through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF-FM, in Peterborough. My name is Evan Robbins. I'm the full-time broadcast journalist for Trent Radio through the Local Journalism Initiative. And I'm here every Thursday at 5 p.m. doing news recap and live interviews on 92.7 FM and trentradio.ca. Thank you so much. Take care.